You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good morning, afternoon, and evening, everyone. Welcome to the Game Week 14 pod of the FPL Wire, powered by Dreamset Go. I'm your host, Zofa, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Late Riser. How are you doing, buddy?
I don't think we need to talk about how I'm doing. You're the one that's flying. Why don't you gloat for a change?
I got very lucky that Kane wasn't really an issue this week. Vardy finally came through, so I got a bit lucky there. Bakker was gleaming year to year.
No. Before we move on, I need to get this out of your mouth first. How many points did you score, Zof?
71.
And what's your rank right now, Zof?
16.5k.
Why don't you tweet about that or talk about that, Zof?
I don't know. I feel weird tweeting about points that the players scored on the pitch. I'm just getting lucky by picking them.
That's so far for you. You never gloat, so I need to do the gloating for him. Tell us about Bakker. He had a good week too. He was gleaming, you were saying?
Yeah, 72. He sent me a sneaky message when the Spurs game was called off. He's like, ooh, this might work in our favor. Bakker, don't do that. Don't be like that.
Yeah, he's had a fair few good weeks. I think he's risen from about 250, 300k to what, 30-ish k at the moment, if I'm not mistaken. So good on you, Bakker. Yes. He's not going to be with us until the 10th of December because apparently
he's reading.
He's studying, apparently. Wow. I'm sure that's probably not the case. But anyway, I had a fabulous week in Goa. I was there for most part of the week, absolutely switched off from all the football, and got 59 points. Feel terrible about that Spurs game called off because it's not about who you get on as bench points, and that's a separate story, but it's about the planning that you do for a Spurs team. And Luke Key, if you ask me, I think the Moneyball fixture for Kane was this one. He loves going to Turf Moor, as we were talking about it earlier. And the other games feel like games in which Spurs won't hog that much possession as much as the Burnley game. So felt a little hard done by, but I console myself saying that we get the rub of the green as often and we just don't look at that. So
there's nothing you can do. These are things that factor beyond the control. Just brush it off. Don't feel bad. It's just things that happen. And eventually, I think there's a lot more chaos coming in December, January with weather and COVID. So you might be on the better end of it. Who knows? Just pure luck.
Exactly. Just to our listeners, we're going to try keeping this shorter than usual because of the quick turnaround times. So whenever there's going to be, midweek game weeks, etc., we'll try pushing in a 30, 40 minute pod. Keep it snappy, stick to the relevant stuff. So let's push on with it, Zof.
Let's go. Quick word about our sponsors. Dreamset Go is India's first sports travel and experiences platform, offering a range of premium end-to-end authentic experiences across football, cricket, tennis, F1, rugby, and golf, among others. From matchday hospitality to VIP stadium tours, from private meet and greets with athletes and legends to exclusive access with their training sessions, Dreamset Go curates the most fulfilling sports travel packages for fans like you.
And all the stats that you see on our pod are from the Fantasy Football Scout members area. You need to log on to fantasyfootballscout.co. You can become a member. It's really, really useful. And if you do decide to become a member, click on the link in the description below. Also, we're doing everything we can to push as much content as we're trying to push out a pod before we get to work. So if you do want to support us, you can log on to patreon.com/theFPLwire. All our content is free. This is just to show us some support.
Right, Zoff.
How do you want to do this?
Let's just go game by game, and I don't think we necessarily review what happened in the game per se. And wait, I've got the wrong image up over here. This is what happens when we go ad hoc. Let me fix that over here.
Yeah, very quickly. That's fine. Guys, hold on to your super chats right until the end. We'll probably do maybe a 2 or 3 minute question Q&A section. So just hold on to that until then, because we want to try keeping this as snappy as possible. Good to go, Zoff?
Good to go. It's fixed now.
All right. Arsenal-Newcastle. FPL takeaways from this game?
I thought Smith Rowe was very unlucky not to get anything, not to get a goal or assist. He seems to be getting not the volume of chances, but the quality of chances, because he should have had the assist also for the shot that Auba took. Defensively, Arsenal looked pretty good.
Yeah. Do you think we... the takeaway for me was that maybe we should start looking closer to a certain Tomiyasu. Because he's still cheap and doesn't really have any competition on that side. And while we're looking at Mitchell Aguirre from Palace, Arsenal's a decent bet as well. If you want to dive into that 4.5 million midfield bracket where you want a little certainty, and he's getting into the box a lot more than he did previously. So something to take note of.
So what happened, I think there's a change now without Tierney in the team. I think with Tierney in the team, they're a lot more lopsided. Tomiyasu wasn't committing as forward. Now with Tavares in there, it's a bit more balanced. Both fullbacks are pushing up.
Got it. There was an echo issue. It's sorted now. It's all good. It's sorted now. The chat is saying it's sorted. Great. What do you make of Wilson? Too late to go there now?
Wilson, the thing is, I don't think Norwich are that bad. I'm seeing improvements on Norwich, and Burnley is a bit tricky. And then the fixtures go south really fast. So I'd skip it. I'd actually back Norwich in the next game. Not Newcastle.
Exactly, yeah. I'm in the market for a striker. Maybe if we get negative news on Foden later today in Pep's press conference. And I'm actually looking and considering Team Pookie quite heavily. I also think it's quite late for Callum Wilson as an option now, because you have two game weeks, out of which Norwich are much improved, and then you move on. Palace Villa, FPL takeaways. You were considering Gallagher.
I'm still considering Gallagher. And the thing is, Milivojevic was pretty poor that game, and there's a lot of talk amongst the fan forums that he's going to be dropped. And Vieira said something about rotation. So at least for the next game, you're going to see Gallagher on a lot of set pieces. And I think he's one of the most secure starters in the Palace team. Even with the depth they have in the squad, I think he's going to play the majority of the games. And the fixtures are good. Quick look at their fixtures. Leeds, United, Everton, Southampton, Watford, Tottenham, Norwich, all up to game week 20. Bit of a set and forget.
Yeah, I thought he looked really, really sharp. And with Gallagher, right? Yes, positioning helps with him. But every time I see him, he's probably the second best, or if not the best player on the pitch. The guy has so much quality on the ball. So even if he's playing a little deep, his passes are so accurate that I reckon he'll always be in and amongst the mix. Even if he's playing deep, he knows how to time his runs really, really well. So I think he's a good pick. There was some talk about him being a little deeper when Eze came on in the last 25 minutes. So that is something on monitoring. But I don't think he's going to be anything but a box-to-box midfielder. And Vieira is not going to stop him from making those runs into the box.
Definitely. I think he's the best attacking pick in that game, in that team. Villa, not much to talk about in terms of FPL. I think they want to monitor for 2 to 3 weeks later.
Yeah, but as much as nailed as Watkins might be, I'm more interested in Villa's defense rather than their attack. So nothing from a... one thing I want to talk about maybe is if Ashley Young continues to play in the front three. 4.7 million Aston Villa defender who was playing in the front three. And Gerrard spoke about how he was really impressed with Young in training as well. And he's played with him in the England camp previously also. So that's a situation worth monitoring.
But again, at his age, is he going to play back-to-back games in this period?
No, but if he's first choice and if you kind of know that he's going to play one and two, could be a useful asset. If he's playing in the front three for a Villa team, I think it's a different proposition.
Dialing back to Palace again, Benteke, quite poor. And I think don't think he's going to start against Leeds. I think it's going to be Edward.
It could be Edward flanked by Zaha and Olise.
Olise also didn't have a good game. I'd like to see Ayewu. Zaha, Ayewu. Just a general more mobile team against Leeds. Yeah. That's what you need.
And Eze could easily play on the flank as well. He's a little flexible in terms of the positions he can occupy on the field as well.
Yep.
And I'm quite encouraged by Crystal Palace's current fixture this week because Leeds didn't look that good at all against Brighton. So I think Gallagher could get some points in this one. What do you think, Abhi? Because I might be in the bracket for a mid-price midfielder and we're looking at Gundogan around the 6.5-7 million range. What do you think about Zaha? Because like we've spoken, the fixtures are there. He's talismanic, going to probably play 90 minutes or at least 80. You know, he's nailed on. He might miss one in six or seven. So I think his appeal goes up, especially during this period. What are your thoughts there?
What I didn't like was that he was subbed off when they needed a goal. That says it all to me about his place right now in the pecking order. I don't think Vieira keeps him as highly as, let's say, a Hodgson did.
All right. And if you had to pick one between ESR and Gallagher at the moment, you'd pick?
I'd pick Gallagher because I'm all about the underlying numbers. If somebody has numbers, I'll always prefer him because I think ESR is doing a little bit what Ramsey did at one season. He's getting one good chance every game, not getting a high volume of chances. So I'd always back the guy with the volume to do a little bit better.
Cool.
One more thing about the Palace defense I wanted to touch upon is that this guy is injured, Anderson. Right, yes. Now we see Tompkins in a partnership with Guehi. I don't think that partnership is as good as it was with Anderson. So Palace, although their numbers are good, they've conceded just one big chance in the last four games. I think the defense isn't as good with those two guys in the middle.
Yeah, and set-piece problems as well. You would actually be encouraged.
As a Rafinha owner, you should expect something from a set-piece at least the next game. Move on to Liverpool. I think we might have lost. LR, are you here with us? Disconnected? I think LR has dropped out, guys. He's going to be back here in a second. There he is. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Is my mic on mute?
No, it's fine. I can hear you fine.
All right, cool.
Let's go.
Just dropped out for a second.
Yep.
What were we talking about?
Liverpool, Southampton. Just getting into that. I think there's no need to really talk about Jota. We've spoken about him enough.
Yeah, I just want to say that if you don't own Jota, Salah and Trent, prioritize these three transfers and then look at everything else in it.
Do whatever you need to do. If you have to sell Foden, even if Foden is fit and Pep says Foden is going to start, still buy Jota.
Yeah, we've been shouting since the past few weeks that Jota without Firmino is probably the second best pick in the game. So don't overthink that. Southampton, Ralph admitted that he made a mistake going with so many strikers up top. Absolutely got murdered in that first half. But I think he's going to learn from that.
I think so. I don't think he's going to. He said so very much. So he pretty much held his hands up and said, I got it completely wrong. The first half, we tried to take the game to Liverpool. He's not going to do that again.
And any of the strikers an option at the moment? Armstrong has been clocking some really, really good numbers. He's, I think, second behind Salah for non-pen XG last four game weeks. Behind Jota, not Salah. So,
but the fixtures go a bit south. I was reading somewhere out of that 11 of 13, Southampton's next three fixtures are three in the FDR ticker they use. So you see Leicester, Brighton, Arsenal, Palace, Brentford, West Ham, Tottenham. I would probably say one clean sheet there. Two clean sheet there in terms of potential for defense is not much. And even in terms of attack, look at the opponents they are playing. Leicester, probably the most most obliging opposition there in the short term.
Yep.
And you have Brentford all the way in 18.
Yeah, Brentford, Arsenal and Palace are pretty decent teams in defense. Actually, not Brentford. Brentford is terrible.
Brentford is terrible. Brighton, Arsenal, Palace are still good. West Ham is still good. Spurs by game week 20, they should be a different animal.
Yep. Right, so avoid that. And I still prefer Pukki at that price point at the moment. So.
Correct.
Speaking about Pukki, Norwich versus Wolves up next. I thought Norwich completely dominated that game. And they've been pulling up some trees, you know, in the past few weeks. In the last six matches, they've kept three clean sheets. So they're keeping a clean 1 in 2 and conceded only 4 goals. And their underlying numbers are pretty strong as well. Conceded, what, 0.27 XG to Wolves as well. And Pukki got some chances. I think he had like 4 or 5 decent chances.
Very good chances. 0.78, 0.8 XG or something. He had one very good one-on-one, which he really should have scored. They dominated them completely. And Wolves had a good side. We always talk about how Wolves give a lot of teams trouble. Norwich were very unlucky not to get 3 points here. They barely conceded. I think they conceded only 0.27 XG and they clocked 1.31 themselves.
Yeah. The fixtures are a little so-so, but as a squad enabler at 5.8 million, I think, which is Pukki's price, I don't mind it. What do you think?
I think Pukki is going to go ballistic against Newcastle. I'm backing Norwich in that game.
I like that. I like that a lot because if Foden isn't fit, we'll talk about my transfers later. He's on my watch list.
And I've been bigging Pukki up for like a while. Even last pod, I remember saying it. I genuinely think there is some sort of revival coming. I like what Smith is doing because Smith has abandoned this whole free-flowing football, gung-ho approach that Farke sort of tried to bring with. I know Farke went defensive later on. But yeah. Smith has taken a very pragmatic approach and I think he's playing to the squad strengths.
Yep, yep. One thing worth noting though is that Norman might be injured and he's an important player in that midfield. I think he has an abductor issue. And we don't know how long that injury might be. So we might get news in the presser today. I don't think there was a Norwich press conference yesterday. So just watch out for that.
In terms of Wolves, the fixtures go south after this week. But against Burnley, yeah. Now Burnley are without Tarkowski and Westwood. That carries over because of the Spurs game.
I know. I was a Kane owner. I was looking forward to that. Yeah. But yeah, after the good run of fixtures is done, I think you get rid of your Wolves asset. I mean, people probably own Jimenez at the moment. Give him this game and then get rid.
Get rid. Yeah. Move on to Brighton.
Yeah, Brighton versus Leeds United. First of all, I can't understand how Brighton fans booed that performance against Leeds United. They were great. Leeds is not an easy team to play against. They absolutely dominated them. I understand the frustration that you're not finishing the chances, but I mean, your team was playing terrible football 2 years ago and not really being good to watch. Right now, you're 8th in the league ahead of my club and doing so well with a great future. And you have probably one of the highest rated young managers in the country. I don't think Potter's going to forget that easily. I think it will make a difference when there's a chance of a renewal of a contract or if other big clubs come knocking. And he's not going to say, oh, these guys love me and all of that. So that's that. I was just flabbergasted by that.
It's just frustration. It's just venting of frustration at not winning the game because it was such a one-sided game.
Yep.
Let's talk about Lamptey. Lamptey. I think the talk has to be about Lamptey this game. What a performance. I think five or six chances created. By far the best player on the pitch. And now he literally doesn't have to defend at all. They stuck him on the right wing.
Yep. But I wonder how long that is happening because right now what Potter is doing is he's managing his fitness really, really well. He mentioned before his previous game in the press conference as well that he's not putting Lamptey as a wing back and as a winger because he doesn't want Lamptey to run so much. Even he got subbed out from the 77th minute. So he's managing his fitness. Is he an FPL option? If Potter's managing his fitness 70, 75 minutes, I don't know if I mind. I don't mind it.
It's interesting because I was watching FML yesterday and Walsh mentioned that he's a good pick because he's not getting the rubbish goals conceded right at the end like we saw with City. The goals that are conceded right at the end, he's pulled out before that. So I think it all depends on the structure of your squad. I expect him to play a similar number of games as, say, an Alonso. So I think he's okay if you're looking at him as maybe your third or fourth defender and you have rotation options to back up. But if you're looking at him, let's say, as like your fifth defender, as a replacement for Livramento, as somebody you need to come off the bench, I don't think he's reliable enough to. He might not play when you need him to play.
I mean, we discussed Livramento's fixtures. They don't really look that good from a defensive point of view either, you know. So
that's true.
Upside might be worth it, you know what I'm saying? Like, okay, you get 2 points from a bench point and you have that safety net, but
I mean, it's the process I go through every time I decide I'm not going to buy Lamptey because he's injury prone. He's like, he's going to get rotated. Then I watch Lamptey play and then, I want to get Lamptey. And then again, I get dialed back to, oh no, he might not play all the games. So it's just a constant battle in my head with Lamptey. I love watching him play.
And the problem is, even though he's creating 100 chances, Brighton will probably finish 2 of them.
That's another problem.
That's a big issue with that team at the moment. I mean, I had Neil Maupay first sub and he was very likely to play, right? So, I mean, I was listening to the text commentary and all I was hearing is Neil Maupay is missing chance after chance. I happened to see the highlights yesterday also. There's one player I want to have a bias with and not bring him in my team. And I think that's probably going to be Neil Mopp. Terrible, terrible. Leeds United, I thought, were quite poor. Rafinha wasn't...
One of the quietest games I had Rafinha. I wonder if he was fully fit after his illness or whatever he missed last week. He didn't look it. And maybe Brighton just have Leeds' number. That's three clean sheets in three games for Potter against Bielsa.
Yeah, it might suit him. Good news is Bamford clocked 97 minutes last night in a game against the under-23s, for the under-23s. So I think maybe a week before he's back playing for Leeds, and that's only going to lift both Bamford and Rafinha's value as FPL assets. The thing is, the fixtures turn south in
very
two
south,
as well.
Very quick. Because I don't even think the Palace game is an easy one. And then you have Brentford. I think I like that fixture. But after that, then you play City away, Chelsea away. Two of the most tough fixtures in the league.
I think you play five of the most informed defenses in a row. You're playing Chelsea, City, Arsenal, Liverpool and Villa. Like, it's a catalogue of teams who don't concede many chances back to back. So,
and they're not the same team. They're not the same team that go full gung-ho also, right? Yeah. We saw that away to City also, how they set up last year. They set up in a more defensive way to counter. So it's not like when he first saw last year heavy metal football against any other team.
Yep, yep. So if you own Rafinha, hold him for two and sell him. Definitely don't buy right now, would be my recommendation.
In general, Leeds, I'm a bit worried for them. They need their players back. You need Click back, you need Bamford back.
Yep. Yep. People are asking about the Duffy situation. I'm probably getting rid because you need somebody more reliable in this Christmas period. And if they're going to persist with two at the back, there's even more competition. So I think he's a sell at the moment. And dropping in value quickly. 4.2, he dropped in value
tonight,
today morning.
Today morning, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And I don't think he's just not part of the first choice back three. I think in the beginning of the season, it was just performances that were keeping him in.
Right. Brentford versus Everton. You want to talk about Brentford?
Tony had only one shot. That was the penalty. So in the attacking numbers were very, very poor, Brentford, even though they managed to nick all 3 points. And what the one stat that stood out to me, and shout out to Stevie, iTest FPL. You guys can have a look over there. He's done a bit of a study on this game. Rondon had 5 shots against Brentford. And so that just gives you an example of how much space Kane is going to get the game after that.
Yeah, I mean, if there's one thing Kane owners deserve after that Burnley is at least one return in that game against Everton.
More than one, I would say. It's been a long time coming.
Yeah, I'm just curbing my expectations there. But Ivan Tony is still an easy hold. Because the thing with Tony is, even if he's not going to be involved as the goal scorer, he did create that great chance for Yannit, I think Yannit, it was. Yeah, so easy hold, going to play 90 through this Christmas period, which I think is absolutely crucial. As we saw in the game against Everton, you can get a penalty literally anytime. What a great penalty that was. He's such a stud, man. I love it. Like, just watching
him is
great.
Almost. Well done.
Yeah. And Bumo, what do you think about that?
Bumo had 2 shots, but very low XG chances. And they're not creating the chances. The whole point of Bumo, the appeal was earlier that they were creating loads of chances. He's not even hitting the post anymore. He's not really hitting anything. So I think, but it's tricky now because the fixtures after Spurs are Leeds, which is away. I don't like. I think Leeds are still pretty strong at home. I think they're a better team than Brentford. And then you have Watford, which is a big game for them. So might be worth holding for Leeds and Watford alone. Do you think he gets rotated at all with Wissa or Foss?
I don't think so. Because with the smaller squads, the gap in quality is big. And what we've seen previously, I don't know what their manager is going to do, but what we've seen previously is these managers, they actually play weaker teams versus the stronger opposition where they're not expecting to get points. Mm. For them, the bigger games are against a similar level opposition, right? So I think if he's rested, it might be in a game like Spurs or something like that, you know? So that's my thing.
Makes more sense. They have to cherry pick the fixtures they can pick points in. So I think Tony is a definite hold. And the main advantage with Tony, and we say it again, is minutes. You're getting 90 minutes you don't have to worry about. And we're having players such as, like, you know, your James, Cancelo, Alonso's, etc. in a squad. You need these 90-minute guys.
And with Bumo as well, I'll say it. If you have other fires in your team, I wouldn't shift him. I think he's still a pretty attacking player. He's still out of position. Yes, his underlyings haven't been great. But if you have other fires, there's no other standout 5.5-6 million option, maybe except
ESR?
Cornetto. Yes, sir. But yeah, it's the gap isn't that big that you hurry to make that move or you hurry to remove him. You know what
I don't
I'm
necessarily like agree, because you look at ESRs, because I'm actually eyeing up that move, not right away. But like, obviously, Arsenal play United. United are looking better. We'll talk about that. But then after that, you have Everton, Southampton, West Ham, Leeds, Norwich for Arsenal. So the fixtures get better. And I'm convinced now ESR is an absolute nailed-on pick in that team. He's not getting rotated.
That's a good tip. The fixtures are something I hadn't noticed. So that looks like a good move, given the fixtures.
So let's have a look. In terms of Everton, not much to talk about.
Defensively conceded the most number of big chances in the league since game week 6, which was their last win. So the only thing I have to say about Everton is Captain Mo Salah.
Yep. How do you think they'll be defensive in the derby? I think they'll set up not to lose. That's Benitez's first outlook, I guess.
But I think Salah's a man for the occasion. He thrives in these big games, and it's the Merseyside derby. And he'll be aware that he hasn't scored as well. And he's the kind of player who's going to realize that I'm not taking
Let's actually dial that back a bit. We didn't talk about that on Liverpool. Salah's underlings have actually dropped a little bit since Jota has come into the team. And I do think out of you, if you look at the front three, he's actually the least selfish, you would say, out of Mane, Jota, Salah. He's actually the most creative also of the three.
Yep. I agree. His routes 2 points. I still am not comfortable, because with Jota, you still know that he's a good finisher. He's not an elite finisher. So you could have that day where he gets 3 chances and doesn't finish any of them. With Salah, you know that he'll finish 1 and 2 at least. So, and he's capable of hat-tricking as well. So I still don't see myself moving away from Salah.
I don't think so. There's anybody strong enough. I would have maybe suggested Kane if he saw something against Burnley, right? It's difficult to like go on a blind alley with Kane.
The narrative that people will say is that, okay, he's had 3 days of extra rest and more training. But you haven't seen anything from Spurs to see they're capable of scoring 3 goals. So, you've seen that from Liverpool week on week. They've scored, I heard this on Baker's pod, where they've scored at least 2 goals in the last 16 Premier League games. Now, that's all you need to know about when it comes to who to captain this week.
Move on to Leicester, Watford. Could barely see the ball in this game, so there's not much to read out from the game. But I think what we need to talk about, rather than the points gained already from Vardy, is Roger's comment yesterday. I don't have the exact comment, but he indicated that to Vardy, to manage his fitness, to maintain peak sharpness, he cannot really play 3 games a week. So that would imply that I think he would miss 1 game out of the next 2.
Yep. What he's basically said is Vardy, he thought Vardy would lose his speed, but Vardy has actually worked with Rodgers a lot in terms of buying tons of equipment that help him recover quickly. He's paying a lot more attention to what he's eating, what he's doing, what his lifestyle is like, so that he can last longer. And you can see it. He's not lost his pace as such. He still has that acceleration to move past defenders in the runs that he's making. But you should talk about this. You were on the edge about holding or selling Vardy, and now you're thinking of selling.
Yes, I don't think I'm keeping. So the thing is, if you remember the last pod, I was very clear that Vardy is going after Watford. Bakker and I said the exact same thing. But as soon as a player scores a brace, and the important thing was Madison, I thought looked really good. And Madison is ultimately the supply line for Vardy, especially with Tielemans out. So I was a little bit hesitant. Now I think he's going to go for Kane. And even if he starts and braces, I'm not really bothered, because after a comment like that, I simply can't risk it. And having actually made a point gain of, let's say, 12 from, I think Vardy was close to 20% ownership. Kane was close to 50. I don't want that to be reversed this week with like a Vardy 1-pointer and a Kane brace. I'm willing to give up the 4 points to make that up this week.
Fair enough. And I think you're in a decent position. And what I like about that move is you're still holding 11.5, 12 odd million in that premium striker spot, because Lukaku's coming.
Talk about Lukaku's coming. Ronaldo also, we'll talk about soon, because I'm a bit worried about Ronaldo in the Christmas period. I know we've been bigging him up.
We'll move to that. But let's talk about James Maddison, who's emerged as an asset now. Looked very, very sharp. He spoke about how he's feeling a lot more confident now in his post-match interview. And he was very aware that he had 3 goals and 4 assists in his last 5 starts. He corrected the match of the day presenter as well, which is apparently something he does all the time. But he's always much better as an asset when Leicester are playing 4 at the back and he's playing as a 10. I think this position suits him a little more. Do you think he's an option?
Maddison is a tricky one. For me, the problem with Maddison is always the pattern with Maddison is 16, 2, 2, 12, 22-22-20. Is not a player who scores you consistent trickling over of points. And it was nice to see that his first goal wasn't usually like his usual goals, either from a free kick, long range screamer, not for some place like, you know, a high XG shot within the box. I was happy to see him get into those positions. So in that sense, that was encouraging. He takes a lot of their set pieces. He might be on pens when Vardy is off the pitch. So it's a decent option because there's not really other like many mids in that 6 million bracket now. If you already have the likes of Gallagher and stuff.
Yeah, I think he's a good pick because his immediate fixtures, the next three are really, really good. And if you're different.
That's another thing I've been looking at as a Vardy owner. Southampton, I was having a look at their home XGC is actually up there.
Yeah, I know, but you fancy a Leicester against Southampton, especially in this attacking
form. That fixture is just always a big fixture now for Saints, right? I know after the 9-0.
No, but given the quality of the team, I think you fancy your Leicester attackers against Southampton, Villa and Newcastle.
Fancy, but I think against Villa, not so much, I think. I think Stevie is going to be very conscious of Vardy's strengths.
Yeah, I know, but they're not poor fixtures as such. They're not poor, Villa,
but I don't think they're great fixtures either.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I do buy that argument. And you'd probably save the million and go to ESR is what you're saying?
I think so.
I think Madison is a good punt. Yeah.
I've just been trolled by Madison so many times in the past that there's a bit of a sour taste. I'm willing to give him a fresh slate, but I'd like to see a little bit more consistency from Leicester. Bad enough having an inconsistent Madison. Now you're having an inconsistent Madison in an inconsistent Leicester team.
All right.
Watford.
Their defense is still poor.
I don't think there's anything to talk about. There's a bit to talk about in terms of Watford. They created quite a few chances, more than I thought they would. But again, I don't know how much to read into this game because the conditions were just awful.
Yeah, but attacking-wise, I was just looking at some XG data. In the last 4 game weeks, only 3 teams are better than Watford for XG. City, Liverpool and Chelsea.
Who did they play?
Let me just quickly
United,
check.
Leicester. Is the Everton game included in that sample size?
Let me just quickly check what their last 4 game weeks were. Leicester, United, Arsenal and Southampton. Not bad. I mean, they're decent fixtures and 4th for XG. So, I mean, I haven't looked at them individually. It could be that
United game inflates it so much.
Inflates it and all of that. But they can attack. We know that. Just to want to point out that, again, they lose a lot of their attackers in for the AFCON. I don't know what the situation is there. We should probably look that up before the next spot. But Dennis is a doubt also for this game week. So before you buy him, just wait on fitness news for Dennis. But King and Dennis, good enablers, no complaints there. Just as long as your team can handle AFCON and look into that situation first.
I just worry about King if Dennis is proper injured and no Saar also, because I just keep wondering, where is their creativity coming from?
Yeah. It's insane. Dennis is only behind Salah for returns in the last few games.
How insane is that?
Right. What are Watford's fixtures like, though? The next Watford's two are difficult.
Next two are Man City, Chelsea. After that, it gets a little bit better.
So let's say you can downgrade somebody like a Maupay to fund Alonso in defense and get Dennis or King. Would you be against it at all?
No, I wouldn't mind them as a sub player, like your first bench player, but I wouldn't want them as week-on-week starters.
Cool. I'd say at least get King if you know that Dennis is going to AFCON. Look into that situation. And then make that transfer. Because if we are going to lose Dennis in 21-22 for 2 game weeks, then it's not worth it.
Move on. Man City.
Yeah. Man City is a big talking point at the moment. At this point, we want to say that we are waiting for Pep Guardiola's press conference later in the day for Foden news. But my presumption is that he might be on the bench for the Villa game. And I think he might start the Watford game. Based on what Guardiola said last Friday in his press conference, where he said that Foden looks a lot better and that, but he's still training individually. And that was the case for Grealish as well. He also said that De Bruyne, we're waiting for De Bruyne to test positive, to test negative. Negative. At the moment, he's got some symptoms. He can't smell, taste, all of that. So when we're talking about Gundogan, who is on everybody's wish list at the moment, I think those two factors also need to be factored in. What's your take? Gundogan looked really good in the past 2 games. He's making those shadow runs.
We'll talk about Foden soon, but before let's talk about Gundogan. This was right around this period that we saw the spurt in his numbers. And I think Bakker sent me a good stat yesterday about his numbers specifically with Bernardo playing as an 8. Let me just look up those numbers for you. I'll find those.
But while Zafar is finding those numbers, just want to say there's about 500 of us watching us on a Tuesday morning. I wasn't expecting that. I was telling Zafar I'd be happy with 100 viewers in the live stream. 500 of you all, thank you so much. We really, really appreciate the support and you guys being here in the morning as well. So this is something we might give a shot during the December crunch period. And while you're in there, just make sure you're hitting like and subscribe.
I can't find the tweet exactly, but basically he had scored some 15 goals or something in 23 games with Bernardo as an 8.
Yeah, this is where he runs started. Basically, Gundogan not playing is great for...
KDB not playing.
De Bruyne not playing is great for Gundogan. So, but the thing is, how sure are we of De Bruyne not playing? Because if De Bruyne recovers...
that's he won't be back by this week, because I think even after you test negative for COVID, you need a week or so of training. So... the problem happens after the next week. I think that's what, 15, 16, around 16, 17.
And I think he'll take some time to get up to speed as well. He just hasn't been really, really fit. I feel like Grealish will play in the middle more often. Foden might play in the middle more often than De Bruyne does because he just hasn't been fit this season as yet as well. So we don't know what's going to happen. If you have to take the plunge and not at all against it, Gundogan is a great pick. On penalties, was on some set pieces as well, despite Mahrez being on the pitch.
Yeah, we saw he's on penalty. I think he had the ball when City had that penalty, I think, reversed. I remember he was holding the ball and stuff. So, I think he's definitely on penalties. And in general, there was we saw that comment from Pep also.
Yeah.
Where Pep says he's a key member of the team. So, I think as short term, I could like him quite a bit. Even for the next 2 to 3 weeks, you could see him getting 20, 25 points in those weeks. As a short term punt, I think also he's... even with KDB back, I still think when he's in a good vein of form, he is going to get forward. The question.
I do expect him to play 4 and 5 irrespective, and same is for Bernardo as well. I think both are good picks.
In terms of pecking order, Bernardo or Gundogan right now? I know you're big on Bernardo.
That penalty thing changes it for me. Because Spence can come in any game and penalties change it for me.
Foden to Gundogan, would that move appeal to you if you had no other fires?
If I was funding a big upgrade elsewhere, maybe. But
it's only 0.8, so it's not getting you much money, or 0.7 or whatever it is.
It's on the edge. I'm not against it. But I feel like Foden is still the better FPL pick. He's still the more direct player. He's still going to be more involved. If both are on the pitch, at the same time, Foden's going to be more involved in the points.
Even with Grealish injured, the problem with Grealish being injured is Foden gets tasked with providing the width on the left side, doesn't come central as much. That's my concern. Yeah.
But I think Grealish is pretty much on the same trajectory as Foden, fitness-wise. So I expect them to get fit around the same time as well. So I don't think that should be in your consideration. It's not like Grealish is far away from fitness as well. So, and these are long-term picks. You want your City assets until 21. So I don't know if I want to juggle too much. At the moment, it's funding me, if I remove Neil Maupay, it's funding... decent striker in Pukki for me instead of going for a 4.4 million base striker. So that's a big upgrade in that position. I'll talk to you about that later because I think we need to future plan our transfers for the two teams we haven't spoken about yet, and that's West Ham and United. We need to keep these West Ham and Man United. I think we need to keep these things in mind as well when future planning our transfers at the moment. So we'll discuss that later.
Discuss that. Just before we move on from Man City, I think if you already own Jota, Gundogan would be my next priority in terms of buy this week. I'm quite bullish on his prospects. If you have a transfer, buy Gundogan.
Yeah, good pick. Good pick. Nothing against it. West Ham, anything to talk about?
Didn't offer much in the second half. First half, they offered a little bit, but I would say Antonio looked a bit better. Looked a bit more aggressive, a bit more positive body language. He looked sharper.
Yep. And there's still no real good options. If you're an Antonio owner and you've lasted this long, I think you hold now. Because I think the Brighton game is also going to be pretty decent for West Ham. And after that, it's not long before the good fixtures start rolling. So
I have a sneaky feeling he's going to score against Chelsea as well. Especially if Kante isn't back.
Right. Hold on to Antonio and look at Bowen still. Nothing has changed in my opinion there. The formation that Moyes played against City was very specific to City. He mentioned that in his post-match interview as well. So don't worry about too much.
Benrahma is injured, so that do you think that changes the players who play, changes anything for them?
He's injured and he's going to be going to AFCON as well, right? So Bowen
is
nailed
on. I mean, AFCON is quite far. It's about 6 weeks away. Let's talk about the immediate short-term impact. I don't think so, because it makes Bowen more nailed is the point I guess I was trying to make.
Yeah, that's it. Bowen's more nailed. I wouldn't worry about Bowen.
move on.
Yep. Chelsea United. Your team worked really hard and managed to get a point against us. Congratulations to you.
Well, I deserve that. I deserve that. You know, the few things more certain than United scoring after everything that's been happening so far. All the stars aligned in such a way. And what you know what I noticed this in a message, a lot of my friends in the first 5 minutes is that United have turned up. But tell in the first 5 minutes the way that the players were pressing, the way the players were generally giving a shit, to put it like the words that, you could see that they were actually up for. I mean, the formation and tactics, whatever you call it, the players bought into it.
Yep. I thought we were solid. I mean, we gave you all maybe a slight volume of chances, but none of, except for the Rudiger one at the end, none of them were like big chances.
No, there were two. There are two. I think that the Hudson-Odoi one, right at the beginning of an Alonso pass. Yeah. I think that was possibly the best chance of the game. And if you score that, the entire trajectory of the game changes.
The game changes. Yeah, game state, like we talk about. I mean, a lot of people were telling me, oh, you don't come to Chelsea and get so much possession. I'm like, no, this is exactly how I'd want to set up against this Chelsea team. I'd want us to park and try getting us on the counter. I was very happy with Ronaldo being benched. I was very happy with Rashford and Sancho being the two outlets on the counter. Maybe he tried to pin back your fullbacks a little as well. It didn't work, but I was happy with the thinking behind the setup as well. No problems with it. But from an FPL point of view, I want to ask you, I'm considering Alonso, that slight shift in the 75th minute, big talking point, still a buy, Zoff?
I think so. And what was interesting, I think he took a ridiculous number of corners. I think 12 or 14 corners, and we are generally quite good from corners. That being said, the corner quality themselves wasn't really good, and he looked a little bit rusty. He definitely suffered a little bit of the loss of Chilwell in his movement, but he still got into those promising positions. In the box, he had one very good chance in particular where he sort of took his shot a little bit late. So I think he's very much still a buy. And it's interesting that Tuchel said about his fitness. He said that maybe he's getting tired. So there are two ways to look at it. You could say he needs more minutes to build the fitness because we know already that Chilwell is going to be out till January. So either or maybe he's not fit enough to play 3 games a week. Which way would you interpret that?
I think he needs more minutes. Same. It's not like he's tired. He can play as much as he wants. And if Tuchel wants to game manage, he can. And I just think at 5.6 right now?
Yes, he's 5.6.
Too good a pick at that price to not take advantage of. So I think I'm going to go there.
And what was interesting was when he put Reece James on the left, I thought Reece was quite poor. Reece is very one-footed. He really can't do anything with his left foot. Every single time he was cutting inside and trying to cross. So that's really something not sustainable. If we do see any rotation on that side, I think it's going to be with Aspie or Hudson-Odoi at best.
Yeah. Do you think James might get rested for the Watford game 390 minutes back-to-back?
The problem is we didn't win. If we had won, I would say with a lot more confidence you can rest James, but we need to win. Especially with both Liverpool and City breathing down our necks. And Watford have got a little bit of an upturn in terms of their attack and stuff like that. And Aspie, I think Aspie will probably replace Chaloba. Christensen will replace Thiago Silva. And we'll probably keep the rest of the back five the same because there's also no Kante. Kante, the loss of Kante means that we can't really afford to mess around at the back too much.
Cool. So Alonso's a buy for you.
Alonso is a buy. Wait on Lukaku. I like Lukaku from, I think, the West Ham fixture. I think it's a perfect trajectory to hop off for Kane because you can get pretty much, you can get this Brentford and Norwich fixture, and then immediately after that, Chelsea have Leeds and Everton. You can either hop on, see what's happening with Ronaldo. Ronaldo has Norwich and Brentford. Chelsea have Leeds and Everton. So there's a clear hop-off path also for Kane over there.
Yep. All right. Let's talk about United. I quickly just want to mention a couple of things. I've been reading up on our new interim manager, Ralf Rangnick. Obviously quite a bit, and very, very excited by the appointment. Very, very excited by what it's going to mean for the club in his in his advisory role after his interim appointment as well. Because I'd be very surprised now if we don't get Ten Hag or Pochettino as our managers in the summer. I think that's very, very nailed on. In terms of what you want to do, I think you also think about future planning because United's fixtures are going to turn. And Rangnick is a very forward-thinking manager, attacking-oriented manager. I've been reading up on him. So you might want to jump on an United asset in the after the next two or three game weeks. But the very important thing with United is you actually want to see how we set up under Ratnik and who looks like the go-to option. I don't think it's going to be Ronaldo. I think one of Sancho, Rash or Bruno could turn up as options. I've got a good feeling about Sancho because he likes a lot of quick touch, pass and move kind of approach, very similar to what Liverpool do as well. And he likes pressing at the front. Sancho is used to playing in that sort of a system at Dortmund as well. So I don't think he'll need to be coached that too much. And he doesn't really like sideways passes. He doesn't really like non-risky football, which is why I think Bruno might become an option as well very soon because he likes only forward thinking. Bruno takes a lot of high volume risky passes. So just monitor that situation. Nothing to say much at the moment. Don't move on to a United asset before seeing how Ragnik sets up our team. And once you're confident, I think...
Palace. I think Arsenal also, they're saying that his work permit won't really be finalized. But how much of an impact can he even have? Because you have Arsenal, which we play, I think you guys play Thursday, then Palace you play on Sunday. And if he is on place for Palace, how much time? I think you're really seeing the impact only in the Norwich game because you have that full week to work.
Yeah, I'm saying after three, that's what I'm saying, after three game weeks. You judge how, like a lot of people might want to just look at this new manager bounce and, you know, go blind into which United asset you're backing. I don't think you do that. I think you watch one game or two before jumping, but then you jump because the fixtures are there.
Agree. Just wait and watch. I don't know about Ronaldo. I do think like, you know, Ragnik is the sort of guy who'll want to use his best players, but he seems to me someone who emphasizes the collective rather than the individual, the polar opposite of your previous manager.
Exactly. If Donny becomes an option, I think that's something that might be very, very interesting because he's just 5.7 million midfielder. So again, one to add to the budget bracket as well. And he's looked good every time I've seen him, especially in the last 2 weeks. I think his performances have been good. So
right.
Interesting.
We just have a quick look at the fixtures for game week 14.
Sure.
Just now, captaincy, I think, as usual, we've been talking about Salah. If you want to go against, I like Kane.
If you want to go against, I'd much rather go Jota or Trent rather than Kane.
Keep it in Liverpool.
Best team in the country right now in attack. I don't think Spurs have done anything to indicate they're even close to matching Liverpool at the moment.
Not seeing anybody else who really inspires. And let's not spend time on this, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to play the variance game, Jota is getting stronger underlings. Maybe you bet on that if you want to differentiate. I don't think you bet on Kane.
Right. Let's just do our teams. Then we can do maybe a short Q&A.
How many minutes in are we?
We are 45. So I think we can. We targeted under an hour. I think we can get the content in there.
Cool. So for the benefit of the listeners,
This is Bucker's team. I haven't got his team. So I'm just reading out his score. It's from Scott from the previous week. He's got Ramsdale, James, Trent, Cancelo and Alonso. Rafinha, Bumo, who will be benching this week. I guess Antonio will come in. So it's Rafinha, Jota, Salah, Vardy, Antonio, Tony. So I was speaking to Bucker at around 5:30 a.m. this morning. And the best part is, I was just telling you before we come on, he goes to sleep at about the same time I wake up. So we have that overlap over there. So what he's thinking of, he also wants to do the Vardy to Kane move, but he needs about 0.5 to fund it. So he's looking at Rafinha possibly down for Gallagher. Do you see another alternate route to fund Vardy to Kane? We would have to do Bumo to fodder.
I'm happy to pay Rafinha for Brentford. I prefer Rafinha at home against Brentford more than I prefer Bumo versus Leeds United. Especially because I think Bamford might be back for that Brentford game.
I don't see any other route. Either he has to do the Bumo fodder or the Rafinha to Gallagher.
Yeah, there's no other route. There's absolutely no other route.
But which one would you do?
Rafinha to Gallagher.
I think so, and my reasoning for that was Rafinha is possibly going to hurt you in the short term. Maybe for these 2 weeks, but after that, you'd want Gallagher anyway. So just take it on the chin in the short term.
Yep. And not like Gallagher's fixture is poor this week.
You can. Next week against away to United, it's not that bad. Even if you need to call him out from the bench, he's going to play Bumo away to Leeds. But if you need to get Gallagher off the bench against United, I think Palace can give you guys a fight.
Our defensive, United is a good fixture. Our defense isn't good. So,
and at home, I think you obviously will be a bit more gung-ho. You're not going to set up how you did against Chelsea at home to Crystal Palace.
Yep. All right.
This is my team.
Go on.
Very similar to Bucker's. Ramsdale, Cancelo, Trent, James, Alonso in defense. Foden, Salah Cap, Jota, Antonio, Tony, and Vardy on the bench, Foster, Bumo, Livramento, and Brownhill. So I've got 0.5 in the bank. I'm thinking Foden to Gallagher, Vardy to Kane.
Like it. Ignoring Gundo?
Can't afford. Because I need to upgrade Vardy to Kane. For that, I need to raise how much around the quarter million and a half.
Will you still remove Foden if Pep says that he's fit?
That's when it becomes tricky, and I think I will. I think I will still. Because, again, Foden, with Pep, you never know. Even if he says he's fit, is it any guarantee he's going to start?
I mean, if he's saying he's fit,
I agree what you say with the Watford fixture is definitely the money game. But like with Pep, the thing is, unless he says he's going to start, I don't really trust him.
He's never going to say.
That's why I said it's never going to happen. So, and I like how it sets me up this move because it leaves me about 0.6 left over. I can upgrade Bumo to Corne against Newcastle. That's a fixture I'm really eyeing up next week.
I'll tell you what, Zoff. I get why Kane looks like the asset to have in the next two game weeks. And I get you don't want to lose out on points there. But at the back of my head, the voice is telling me that City assets are better than Spurs.
I know absolutely what you mean. Especially the Watford fixture. Because against Villa, I don't think they'll tonk Villa. Yeah. They'll probably get one or two. But I think they'll probably tonk Watford.
Exactly. In my head, it's like City assets are the better assets. Like, that's the thinking. Think about it. I get why you want
to. I get it, but after that statement from Rodgers, I just can't do it.
Yeah, and it also sets you up structure-wise because I know you're going to go to Lukaku very, very soon as well. So I just think it sets you up structure-wise.
And I really want to get Corne also against Newcastle. I think that could really be party time for Corne there.
The compromise is going to be either Foden or Antonio. In your team, the compromise is Foden. In my team, the compromise is Antonio. That's pretty much it in terms of structure. So, cool. Tough decision.
Your team.
Right. I've got two free transfers. I rolled last week. I've got Ramsdale as keeper, Trent, Cancelo, James. In defense, I've got Salah, Foden, Jota, Gallagher, and Bumo. And I've got Kane and Tony. I'm probably going to sell. I'm looking at doing Duffy and Mope to fodder striker. I'm looking at Locadia, who played 22 minutes. I'm just hoping to get lucky there. I have 5.2 million and not 5.3 million for a striker, which has probably gone down to 5.1 million because Duffy fell in price. Otherwise, I would have gone for Dennis. And I'm looking to upgrade Duffy to Alonso. That's my thinking at the moment.
What's Broja like? 5 million.
I could do Broja, but
at least you get somebody who plays because ultimately, like, I know we are talking about we had a discussion about this, the eighth attacker, the third sub, how much does it matter? But I think Broja could be in with a shout of starting any game. So instead of getting fodder, unless you have a specific use, if you want to upgrade that user money to upgrade Bumo.
I'm just thinking more than upgrading Bumo, I know that I'm going to need cash for a United asset or an Antonio in the future. I think I'll need cash there. That's the
which is a fair assumption, I think.
Yeah, so that's the thinking.
What about Foden? You're not thinking of Foden out at all.
I've thought about Foden to Gundo. It depends on what Pep says. And I think if Pep says that he's going to be fit, I actually like Foden for the Watford game. That's the game I want Foden for. That's the game I want City assets for. I mean, if I get
and even
cash
after in the run after is great.
I mean, if I can upgrade a Bumo to a Bilva or a Gundo also, I don't mind it. I generally like the idea of getting seven or eight spots out of the nine spots you're allotted for the top three teams from the big guys. I just like that idea as a strategy. And there's a lot of value on offer. So that's the thing.
I get what you say.
Yeah. Before we move on, I want to talk about Rudiger. If I don't go Alonso, is Rudiger an option? Because he's not that guy who is at the back all the time. He's more nailed than anybody in that Chelsea team. He's making a lot of forays. He's a massive threat on set pieces. I think what do you think?
I think if you were to buy, you still buy Alonso. But at this point, I wouldn't necessarily. I know Bucker did the exact same move last week, Rudiger to Alonso. But just after watching that, I don't really. Don't think moving out Rudiger is a priority. I think if I had Rudiger and James, something like that, I would stick.
But I'm buying a Chelsea defender now. Rudiger or Alonso?
I'd still buy Alonso.
You'd go Alonso.
But
yeah,
it's just so much more fun to watch. If he's taking every corner, he's going to take every free kick. He's going to be linging around the box. The engagement you watch while watching Chelsea game is far better.
Sold. I love Alonso. I was very early on him in his first breakthrough season as well. Just love the player. So. I know what the fun is to watch a Chelsea game as an Alonso owner.
Let's just do a quick Q&A.
Cool. We'll run this for about 3 or 4 minutes because it to work very quickly.
We have a few super chats.
One from Ankit. Ankit is asking if he should do Vardy, Foden to Kane, Gallagher. It's what Zoff is planning on doing. So there you have your answer. And he's got a bench of Duffy, Livra, MacArthur. Should I, strengthen his bench rather than do the proposed movie thing? What do you think, Zoff?
Do the movie thing. I think do that first.
Agreed.
There's also one super chat from earlier from Guto. He's asking Raul, I guess that's Jimenez, to Pukki, Wilson, or Wood to do Tierney to Alonso. I think...
I like Pukki.
Pukki, but I still want to keep Raul one more week.
Yeah, yeah. But I get he wants to bring in Alonso for the Watford fixture.
Mm. If you had to pick one, probably Pukki.
Agreed. Gundo or Bilva, we are both on Gundo at the moment. Bilva is still a good pick if you can't afford Gundo. He's more expensive, right? If I'm not mistaken.
It's about the same.
About the same. Cool. Son to Jota. Yes. Jota, prioritize Jota. As simple as that. Whoever you have, prioritize Jota. Even if it's selling Son. I'm very clear on that. What do you think of Gabby J? Question from Debrup Das. I thought he was incredibly unlucky and he actually deserved all the points that Gundogan got in that game as well. Just really, really unlucky to not get points. Bakul's asking if he should do Saka to Gundogan off, yeah?
Yes, definitely. Saka's possibly injured.
Yep. Alonso or Rex?
Alonso.
So, and what is your take on Son to Gundo? A lot of people might... I don't know if I'd move Son out for
Gundo. I wouldn't do that because I still prefer Son. Jota, Son, Gundo, probably in that priority. But at the same time, if I was buying one, I'd buy Gundo.
Yeah, but you wouldn't sell Son to Gundo this week. Villa's pretty tight. Don't do it this week. I actually think Brentford is the better fixture than the Norwich fixture. Norwich fixture isn't easy now.
Super chat from Tarun. Should I do Antonio to Kane or Bumo to Gundo? Basically, should I prioritize Spurs? Could do Bumo to Son also. Interesting. Antonio to Kane for me.
Yeah, I agree.
That being said, Bumo to Gundo feels like a bigger upgrade.
I agree. It's just that Kane could go berserk, right, in the next two game weeks. That's the thing.
That's true.
But
if you told me Antonio, is Antonio going to match Kane or is Bumo going to match Gundo? I'd say there's a higher chance of the former.
I agree. So does your answer change off?
A very difficult one. With the captaincy not a factor, I'd do Bumo to Gundo.
Cool. I agree as well. You've changed my mind because I was on the fence anyway.
One more question.
Last question?
Yes, let's do one more. We hit the hour mark.
Okay, cool. Fornals or Bowen for the West Ham run? Bowen.
Bowen.
For me. Easily.
No more super chats, please, guys. Last one.
Okay, he's just telling us that he got ASM to afford Jota, hoping ASM pays off. Good luck.
Yes, I like ASM for the next two at least.
All right, guys, that's it. We need to head to work. So thank you so much for being with us. And we'll probably... Zoff, the morning shift isn't so bad. Even if we wanted to...
Friday morning, I think. Let's go. I want to see the United game. I don't want to do the pod on Thursday without the United game.
Yeah. So it'll either be the Thursday evening or Friday morning, depending on how our schedules sync up. But thank you for joining us and good luck this game week, guys.
Good luck and see you. Sports Social Podcast Network.